It'll be too late. Now's the time. Let's do something now. You see, the thing is, that makes me sick. That's why I hate to go even tomorrow.
You can't wait. Sit down before you talk.
Well, that's disgusting.
Well, why is she...
She went to Broomore.
Oh, okay, sit down.
You see, I know her well.
She went.
She was a delegate to the German board for years.
From where? From what city?
From here, from Los Angeles.
Oh, she's from Los Angeles?
Sure.
So you know her in Los
oh,
Angeles?
Oh, God, sure. She is from Los Angeles. She worked in the sportswear, shirt worker.
Well, when did you... Well, you first met her when you came out, you mean?
I met her about 25 years ago, more than that.
Here.
So. Yeah, about 30 years ago.
But you didn't meet her when she was at Bryn Mawr.
No, I didn't know her from... See, these people... Now... See, it is a matter of the survival of the citizen that meant so much more to them than their idealism. I don't know. Maybe they were right and I was wrong. I don't know.
Why? What?
I think I was right, damn it. I'm glad I did what I did, whether I was successful or... I know that I was no total failure. I made my mark.
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand what the...
You don't understand? The thing is this.
I mean, with
they were with me. They didn't have the guts to side in with me when it came to an open presentation. They didn't dare to vote with me. Remember I told you the incident at the drawing board? My own delegate, and they supported me and they loved me. I made a motion and they didn't second my motion.
That's in Chicago, though.
That's in Chicago. Yeah. And that was all the way through like that. They were afraid for their jobs.
But she was on the joint board here in Los Angeles.
She was here and never supported this this enterprise that I... the in-training didn't come up open to support me.
Was she presumably for women or not?
Well, she didn't speak against it. But they didn't come out and speak for it.
So she was here for how long?
Oh, for many, many years. And she was played around.
How old is she?
She's in her 70s.
Oh, so until she retired, she was in Los Angeles?
She retired in Los Angeles.
I see.
I want to read about her.
It doesn't say anything about her, it's just that she happens to be in that picture.
Oh.
I don't think it says anything about her. No, I was curious because I figured you must know her.
Well, anybody, anything, there's very few that I wouldn't know. Very few.
Yeah. So that's what I figured.
Timers.
I figured that you must know. So she was on the joint board with Sadie?
Yeah. Sadie knows her well. You see, Sadie is a different, I defended Sadie. She didn't back me either. I defended her from Chicago to while she was in Rochester. I defended her in Brookwood. I defended her out here. And then you'll meet Posner next week. He's so nice to me. He kisses me. He's probably telling you, no. So around, that was my business. He's shaking his bum head.
Well, Phil, you first met her, though, here.
Katie? Yeah. I met her out here.
But by then, you weren't fighting, for the most part, you weren't fighting for a lot of the separate women's issues that you had earlier.
No. Yes. No. I didn't. Out here, I didn't fight separately. Only this enterprise. Yes. I feel, I have a feeling rather, that Ruth Miller could have done a lot more than she did. She blames the business agents. She didn't get the cooperation. Now, no man will give you cooperation when it comes down to them. They're not interested in promoting women in high places. They want to have it for themselves. They want to dictate it. They want to play with it. They want to use it for what you're worth. Like, I'm telling you, the older I get, the more excited I get about it. When I read the old philosophers, what the hell do they say? I maintain it's too bad, and I always lament the fact that I was deprived of an education, because I think I would have been a great fighter for the cause of them. But I fought without understanding. Instinctively, I fought. Now, when I read now, at 81, that they compare women to children and the servants and all that, it makes my blood boil.
What were you reading?
I'm a woman. The woman's question.
Oh, the Lennon one?
No, the woman's question. I got it from the other one. No, really. You know, Plato and all the rest of them, they all put down the book. What is just because they have it, they have what? A schwanzo. That's what I say, you know. What can I say? But I fought like a tiger, instinctively, without any knowledge, without having any education. Just I felt that women are being abused.
And how about Hilda?
The same thing, more or less. Not quite as arrogantly. I was arrogant. I do that. I was tougher than Hilda, much tougher. I give the appearance. There's one bastard business agent, he's dead. There were two of us, Skaminski, Oscar Allen, and I, with three business agents in Harachef and Marx. I stood up at a shop meeting and I told the membership, don't be afraid. Come out with your complaints. I guarantee with my life that nobody will be hurt. And they made it so miserable for me to the extent that they fixed it up for the company that I wasn't allowed to go into the shop. They walked in freely. Then he told me privately. He says, sir, I don't understand how you could stand it. Everybody chops wood on you.
Who told you that?
Kaminsky, one of the business things. Sure, they chopped. They didn't know how much I suffered because I refused to show them. And that's why I used to run away. And when I felt that I was breaking, I either got sick and went away for a couple of weeks, or I managed to get away. Because the same thing, why did I come out here? At the end, I was really sick.
Sarah, all through your life, actually, from all your scribbling, it seems that you were sick most of your life. On and off, you have different things.
Yes.
Did you have you never had problems, like at the shops that you worked at, having to take time off for illness? I noticed very often you would have several days off because you were sick, and then in Chicago, and then out here too at Newark.
I was sick all the time. Maybe I was sick in my head, and I didn't know it.
But you never had, were threatened with your job being taken away from you because you were out sick so much?
I wasn't out. When I was out, for instance, when I, in 1934, and I went to Florida, I went legally. I went about it in a legal way. I wasn't a disobedient type. I was a law-abiding unionist. So I didn't cut any rules.
You would take you would take vacation? You didn't have vacation time.
It wasn't vacation. I was sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
I was coughing so in the shop that nobody could work, actually. I coughed my lungs out. And once I went to Florida, once I came out here, and strange as it may seem, I always gave the appearance of a very strong, and I was strong. I'm very strong now. It was that when I said I wouldn't be afraid of a scab right now, I could take care of him even now. I mean, that's the way I feel this minute. What happens to me at night time, without taking medication, I'm not responsible for.
Well, when you would take the longer times off, was that usually coincided too with more trouble in the shop, didn't
it? Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. A reaction of trouble in the shop. Sure, out here too. For instance, I had varicose vein operation, I think it was 1950. I have to look it up. I think it was 1950. I had a lot of trouble suddenly. And my legs started giving me so much trouble that I went to the hospital. I was there for a couple of months. That's when I wrote that letter to Petoskey. You remember?
Which one was that?
Describing the 1910 strike. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Of course, when you read, you imagine that you're always... I wasn't always sick. Who hasn't got a headache? Who hasn't got a bellyache? I mean, you have a woman when she menstruates. I remember basting animals. I used to take the pads from the coats and stuff myself, and still I used to sit through. My dress would be bloody, but I wouldn't go home. I had to make another coat. What do you mean? Paste another coat of armholes. I was the strong-minded, if you want to call it that. I always go back to Dr. Oversley. He says, "You're crazy. You haven't got a strong will." I mean, so you want to know who has a strong will? And I said, I thought I had. You have maybe a determined type, but there's no such thing as strong will.
Siri, you just mentioned Oscar Ellert. Was he some relation to Louis Ellert?
His brother.
Oh, I see.
Then we worked together in the same section, eventually. And we were fooling around in the shop, and he says to me one day, he says, "Why don't you get married?" I said, "Because I'm waiting for you." And the fact is that he used to come to the house before he was a business agent. You know, my sister family used to make parties. I didn't go in for that because I was more of not knowing what, still in I like the intellectual type. I didn't like the haphazard, the the jazz type, and I couldn't. Somehow they didn't appeal to me. I poked fun at him, which was bad mannerism. I remember we had a party one day, and I was supposed to kiss him. So I put my hand on his mouth, and I kissed my own hand. I wouldn't kiss him. You know, kids were young kids. But here, after we worked together, he says, "Why don't you go down?" I says, "I'm waiting for you." He says, "All right." He says, "I'll take you up on that." I says, "Come on, put down your coat. Let's go. Let's go to the city hall." So he backed out. I says, "You goddamn coward." He married. I wouldn't have married him if he would have been the only man under the sun. He had a shiksu in the one, dozens of them, and his brother was, I'm not interested in talking about their personal lives.
Sir, there are a couple of questions that I had from some other tapes, and maybe before we talk about the European trip. Looking through some of the Brookwood material,
mm-hmm.
You talked about this. There's a picture of all those children who came to Brookwood from the Manumet School.
Yes.
And you wrote a letter to
Rose
about it.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about the school? Do you remember more about your trip?
Well, I think I got it written down. I wrote to Rose about it. I was hoping that she'd send Joyce there eventually. It was a school for exceptional children, and mostly radical parents send their children there. There was no grading. They were left on their own. It was so beautiful. I know I was crying from joy.
Where was it located?
I don't remember anything. I can't think clearly that far, because in the letter you find it.
You don't describe it much, though. You mean, you just said how wonderful you thought it was, but it didn't get too much.
It wasn't too far from Brookwood. As a matter of fact, Brookwood was owned by the same man that conducted that experiment too. You see, often I don't remember his name anymore either. I think of it later.
How long did it last? Do you know?
It didn't. I think it went way of Brookwood.
Oh, at the same time?
It disappeared.
How was that supported? I mean, Brookwood was supported by the labor movement. How was this supported?
Also by the labor.
Oh, right.
Individuals. They were Fisk, what's his name? I think Fisk, yeah. It's a beautiful place. I can still see the kids with their growing eyes. Creative. They were so creative. They were from 6 to 10 or 12.
Do you remember how many children were there?
I think there were about 50 children. Same amount as we had in Brookwood.
Were they mainly children of the working class?
Well, so-called working class. They were mostly leaders. Children of leadership. They weren't ordinary children, as I recall it. But I described it to Rose that I was hoping that Joyce would be able to go there. Are there any other question you want to ask me about?
This is also goes back to the Brookwood time. While you were still at Brookwood, you went to Bryn Mawr to some sort of meeting in November of 1925. Do you remember anything about that?
Was that with Lillian Hirstein?
It didn't say. That you just...
Oh, yes, I think... Was that in 25?
Mm-hmm. So it was while you were at Brookwood that you went.
While I was at Brookwood.
See, I think you may have gone again later. You talked about in
1927. I don't remember the 25 episode, but I remember going from Chicago, I think, with Lillian Hirstein. By the way, my Matthew cursed the hell out of her.
Oh,
he called her the old witch bitch. He did, and well. No.
Now, Sarah, what about that conference in Washington? Do you remember anything more about that? That women in, I think, women in industry, is that what it was called?
Yeah. Well, it was a, see, it was first now coming into fruition. Unfortunately, what I fought for, what my side fought for, they're going to the other side. They accept the position of the other side. So we fought for position of, for women in industry, protection. Now, equality, we didn't want that kind of equality, and I don't agree with them. I don't agree with them now either. I'm old-fashioned, maybe. What kind of equality are we going to have now? Let's have equality for workers, for men and women. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Well, that's the position now, that the protective legislation be extended to men as well.
But it is not.
No, they are now under certain rulings. It will be.
Well, I hope that's what I said even at the Women's Day meeting. Let's liberate the men.
Well, in this 1925 thing.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the reason for the protective legislation initially
Yes.
that women, so few women were protected by unions.
Yeah.
That protective legislation was a way to give them, the non-unionized women,
yes,
especially
and
protection.
Yes, and the other side, wanted the equality, regardless of let them lift my, I remember when I was business agent, for instance, to give you an idea when I'm back. I came into a shop and he told a girl to wind tape, standing up on a high chair, winding the tape on a mechanism like that. And can you picture yourself, a woman standing for 8 hours or so, winding on a high chair, standing up? I came in and I stopped it, so the boss is going to throw me out. I said, "You will, I'll take you to the trade board."
But would you have done the same thing for a man? I mean, do you think that job was any good for a man?
No, I say, man. A man could stand it more than a woman. That's not equality. A man, it would be too much for a man too, but for a woman it's absolutely out. How can a woman stand there if she's got a period, for instance? Stand there drifting? So he came to the trade board and he says, "He's paying her." She was time work. I said, "The next thing you're going to tell her to scrub the floors. She's time work. She's to perform certain jobs, certain duties in the shop pertaining to the garment. This has nothing to do with it. She's not supposed to do manual work like that." I won the case. Well, that was the upshot of it. But now would I want to see a woman go down the coal pits. Or, I don't believe in that. I think a man is more suited for it. They should work shorter hours for it.
Well, sir, who organized the conference itself? Did the women, the labor women, organize it, or the
women? It was done by women.
But which women? The women who were pushing the Equal Rights Amendment at that time?
Yeah.
And then the labor women went protest it. Is that it?
That's right.
Now, at the conference, was this all labor women? The conference itself?
No. The women, there were women from the other side. There were all kinds of, just like you. Now here at the women's suffragette, how many working women did you have there? Originally among the women's suffragists, how many working women did you have there?
Not very many.
Well, it's the same thing here. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same pattern.
Now, but it was the women's rights group that actually called the conference,
yes,
in other words.
Yes, yes. It's the same, the women's suffrage group.
Mm-hmm. It was Alice Paul's group,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that name?
I don't remember anything from that. I got it written down somewhere, but I don't remember names. It's a lot of water has gone through. I didn't pay much attention to it after that.
Well, were the women from the labor movement, it was just the three of you from the Amalgamated, or were there others?
No, there was from the ILG, from all the trade union movement. There were people, I can show you on the picture who they were. We were from the Amalgamated. I didn't even know that I was showing myself. I didn't know whether I was coming. I didn't know anything. I was uninformed.
So it was you and Bessie and...
Beata Blanca, it was... forgot her name already. From Rochester. That was the four of us from the Amalgamated. I didn't pay much attention. My mother was dying.
Mm-hmm.
I cut that down exactly when she died.
Yeah, I remember that. But you seem to be remembering more about the conference itself now, which is what I wanted to try and find out more.
I remember that. You see, we had the first one group had a conference with the president, the following day, the laboring groups had a conference with Coolidge. And I recall, I shook hands with him, I was just like a frog. Slimy.
But the conference itself did not mix the labor women and the women's rights women. You weren't all in the same conference.
Yes, we were at one time together, yeah, but we fought each other.
And it was a debate?
Yes,
in
it was. Yes, it was argued against one another. We put our point across. I didn't speak at all. I didn't know what it was coming. I didn't know what it was all about. See, I didn't know what it was all about. I was sent there, I suppose, I was given a treat. You know.
Well, you were probably a good showpiece since here you were a booklet from the show.
Yeah.
Because the others were at that point in the...
I didn't know what it was all about. I had no knowledge, no understanding. Whatever I did pertaining to them was as I said, unconsciously. Not knowing what. I've done it, so the inner feeling. I didn't know what I was doing, why I was doing it. Don't ask me why. Why did I protect this woman or that one. I didn't, why didn't I protect the men back then? Men were mistreated. I didn't like it, but I wouldn't put myself out as much. You understand what I mean? So it is. And now when I read and I come to understand it a little bit more, so I'm ready to go. It's anyways. I want to be business safe. What the hell is the matter with you? You're working. You don't know. You don't know how to sign your name. You don't know how to add up 2 and 2. You gotta set rates. You gotta fight a battle at the trade board. Those are all professors. Where are you going, dumbox? What are you pushing yourself? I want to make room for the woman. She has a right to be heard and be represented in the factory as well as in the union. Not knowing why or when, what for. Don't ask me. A little birdie whispered in my ear.
Well, how about one of your, Fanny worked in the shop too, didn't she?
My sister?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. She worked.
Now, I just wondered if any of the other women in your family had those same feelings at all.
I don't. No, none of them. Not this kind of feeling. They were sympathetic. None of them were mine. Fanny wasn't much of a worker. She didn't like to work. She didn't want to work. She wanted, poor thing, wanted to study for the opera. Where the hell was it? There wasn't enough to eat. She wanted to be an opera singer. I mean, when she got married, so she took opera lessons and she studied for the opera. Didn't turn out. She has a very good voice. She had a very good voice. The other day she told me how much praise she got to singing some group. Well, she was always different from all of us. She said she's not a peasant. She wasn't. And she was good at everything. She was good in school, much better than me. Handy and handwork, everything better than housekeeping, can be there.
Well, now how about Hilda? Where does hers come from, do you think?
Hilda didn't have the love of parents like I did. She liked them. She was seeking love all the time. I think her father left her mother very early. She left the house at the age of 12 or 13. She went seeking her fortune at that age.
On her own?
Yeah. And she landed up in the YWCA. She got her education through the YWCA. She was an avid reader. She was much more advanced than I. She knew much more than I did, scholastically. Practically, she never achieved as much as I did. Never got the following that I did. Never. She was chairlady out here. She was organizer for a while, then she got mixed up with, she changed her political philosophy and was mixed
now
up.
Now, she was organizer very early, even before the
war. In 1920, after she got out of Gilmore. So that's when I lost her. And then when I saw in advance that she's organizer in Philadelphia, I wrote to her, and I from then on, we never fought. We were never apart.
So her being appointed organizer was partially because she'd gone to Bryn Mawr, in other words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, her going to Bryn Mawr advanced her, and my going to Brookwood killed me. Politically, indeed. That's one thing I never regret. So politically, I didn't become a member of the board of directors or the general executive. I don't care. I wasn't fit for it anyways. I wasn't fit to be a business agent. I know it. For one thing, the more I think of it now, the more I realize how unfit I was.
Were you any more unfit than the men?
No. This is what Frank Rosenblum told me. I asked him, see, listen, I say that I was uninformed. When he told me, and I asked him, I said, Frank, don't you think that I am as intelligent as Kaminsky? Now, Oscar, I've had a little education here, high school education. He said, sir, you have to be 100% better than the best of them. I said, you go to hell. And I said, you can stick it up. I'm going to run. But you see, what really happened to me, why I say I wasn't fit, is not because of lack of knowledge, not at all. Not at all, not in the least. And it wasn't my last days in the shop either that I wanted to give up. I couldn't take it anymore, see. I lived the misery of every worker I lived in, and that's no good. A doctor cannot feel every pain that he does, and I was just not made. See, I look rough and always look. But I couldn't. You see, I lived your pain. That's no good.
But didn't you do that as chair lady too?
That's why I had to give it up. That's why I wanted to give it. That's why I didn't want to stay there all the time. I never wanted to stick to one thing all my life. There's a limit. As long as I could be helpful without jeopardizing my health, which I most of the time did, because listen, we had the convention in Chicago in 1922. Does that make logic? Is there any sense to it? A tape sale was suspended, and the convention was on in 1922. I left the convention and went to protect the man that was suspended, wanted to put him back to work. Is there any sense to that? Did the others get it done? I shouldn't know, because after that, the convention is only, so he'll stay out the week. So he's fired, so what the hell do I care? I'm getting paid. Remember that? He's got a couple of kids. He's going to miss the pay. I can't do that. Nobody knew that.
Was there then?
That's no good.
See, was it Brookwood, or that the way in which you functioned was that you put the worker above your own political ambitions? Wasn't it that rather than Brookwood that ruined you politically? Why do you think it was Brookwood that ruined you? Because you left.
Because that's the way they look at you. They didn't only do it to me. Mm. See, that was their general attitude. A college graduate. You see, Frank Rosenblum told me, "You go there. Don't try to, how did he say it? Just have a good time. Don't take yourself too seriously. Now, talking about I had sense of my life, I have 2 years, something that I always craved for. I wanted knowledge. I was thirsty for knowledge. When I had a chance, there's Romania. You could see Romania's name in the labor books, many places. And he was out there with me in Brookwood. He was a representative of this textile worker. Then he was a professor in the magazine. He was managing the Boston Journal Board. As soon as he was in Brookwood, they took him out. They made his life miserable because he was in Brookwood. Then he came out here, he became a big shot in the CIO. But he couldn't navigate in the amalgamated.
Mm. So it was not, it was the men too that had disappointed.
Yeah. I know, I was out here with him. I was organizing out here. We went out somewhere. And he delivered a talk. He had a gift of gab that was worth listening to. I mean, they had you labeled. Well, I've got it here. I got it black and white at a shop chairman's election meeting. Don't vote for her. She's only interested in women. And, you know, she was in Brookwood, and she doesn't care about the workers somehow. All that was used against me.
This was in Chicago?
I'm not sorry. I'm glad that I went to Brookwood, that I had the effort. I'm only sorry that Brookwood went out of existence. The labor movement is a loser by it. It's a great loss as far as I'm concerned to the labor movement. They're trying, and the bona fide university is having labor departments, that doesn't come anywhere. I attended those classes. I've got some material on them. I went to the University of Southern California. I went with the conferences and all that. There is nothing like it. Nothing like it when you